Awesome. All the kids are heading to the back. We invite you to flip open to Ephesians chapter 2. It's in the back of the Bible-ish, starting in verse 11. We'll be reading through chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which is given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory."
We're in an eight-week series that we're spending some time looking at Ephesians. And here's the reality. As that large section of Scripture just kind of demonstrated, we really, we're not giving this enough time to really get into Ephesians like I'd like. But it's a reminder to us that we need to be studying this outside of just Sunday morning. So definitely check out our Bible reading plan. I would love to see a show of hands, because a lot of time and energy went into it. And I just want to know how much kind of time and energy and us pushing it is really even helping. How many of you guys are doing the Bible reading plan right now on Facebook or the website and doing that with your family? And say, okay, that's actually encouraging. I was a little nervous. That was a little bit less. So that's encouraging. I'd continue to encourage you to not only engage it, especially on Facebook at the Dwelling TX. The reason for that is you're able to share that out, and you're able to get some other people locked into, or not locked into, but get some other people kind of working through maybe the book of Ephesians. Very slow. Last time, our last Bible reading plan was very long chunks, and this one's a lot shorter, and it's just more manageable, I think. So I hope that really blesses you and your families and your spouse or whatever. So I just hope that is something that you guys are able to get into, maybe on your own or whatever it might be for you, okay? But the reality is we're covering so much. There's so much to talk about today, even in that text that you just heard, that we just can't cover it all. It's just, we can't. We'd be looking at this for the next 4 years. And we're not going to do that, right? So that's it. I want to say a prayer, and then we're going to dive into today's message, okay? Holy Spirit, show up right now, please, and fall afresh upon us. God, may the words that come out of my mouth be the words that you'd have us hear. Open up our ears to being receptive to what you want us to hear this morning, and then do that work in us that only you can do, that we can't even do to ourselves. Lord, open up us and just do that work now in us. Help me to share not a word more and not a word less than you'd have us hear this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a place where you don't feel like you belong? Yeah? You ever been there? Whether it be a party, maybe it's, you know, some place, maybe it's church, you know, or I don't know. You ever been to a place where you're just like, I don't know if I really belong here? You ever do that? When Jacqueline and I just first came down here, this was about just under 2 years ago now, I actually started driving around this area a bunch. And I would just put on miles on my motorcycle, just seeing if people were out, trying to see like if a church is even needed in this area and introducing myself. And can I just tell you, I'm not going to drop any names of places I was, but I was in some places up in this area where I was just kind of like, you know, like lock the door. Click. You know what I'm saying? There's some places, I'm not saying any names. There's some places I'm driving around and I got cowboy boots and stuff and I click, you know, just lock the doors in this part of the world, you know, kind of thing. Because here's the reality. As soon as I get out of the car, you know, I kind of pull it off or something, and then I start talking. And here's the reality. About a boat and a boot are like the same thing for me. I'm from Wisconsin, okay? So a boot, man, nobody's even cracking on that. You guys are lame. I don't even like you guys. That's so funny. Are you serious? I'm making fun of myself here. Hello, a boot, a boat, and a bout. As soon as I start talking, people are like, you know, it's the same thing, right? I don't think so, but that's what everybody tells me. So, you know, this whole like Yankee, you know, like thing, everybody always called me a Yankee around here all the time. And it's funny because down here, you know, the North is anything, you know, north of maybe Dallas. And from Wisconsin, the South is like anything south of Milwaukee. So I don't know what you call that in-between world, but there's this dividing. There's this like, and I'm kind of starting off kind of playful here, right? But there's kind of this division between like, you know, like the Yankees and kind of who I am, right? And then kind of everybody down here or whatever's going on. And there's kind of this you know, playful maybe not so playful at times, kind of hostility that's sometimes even between different people groups. Well, the context that I want to talk about today are these two people groups, the Gentiles and the people of Israel, okay? The Jewish people. Now, where does this come from? Where does this, some of this hostility come from, and how deep is it, and what does this look and feel like? Because this is the context of what Paul, the guy who's writing Ephesians, he writes Ephesians into this context. And this Jewish Gentile, kind of Gentiles in Israel kind of hostility is at play as he's writing this. Now, the Jewish people or the Israelites or the Hebrews really trace their kind of bloodline. It's a people group of a bloodline that goes back to Abraham. You guys remember Abraham in the Bible, way in the back in the Old Testament? There's a guy that God comes up to and says, hey, I'm going to use you in big ways and there's going to be a people group from you. And the bloodline that comes from Abraham and then his son Isaac and then his son Jacob actually gets his name changed to Israel, right? And so Israel, this people group of a bloodline, is always kind of tracing it back. The Gentiles are essentially everybody else. Like the rest of the world is kind of lumped in together. When you think of Gentiles, or the Greek word here is ethnos, which is kind of like ethnic, and just kind of everybody else is kind of lumped in over there. And where this really starts to come to a head is actually around temple worship, okay? And I have a picture here of the temple. I think that's my next slide, if you don't mind going there. This is kind of just a little kind of throw together of Herod's temple, which would have been in Jerusalem. And what I want to point out to you is that there's different levels of kind of who gets to go in. First, you have maybe somebody who's Jewish and they're a woman. They can go in only so far. Then a man can go a little bit further. Then a priest can go a little bit further. And then the high priest can even go a little bit further once a year. Well, on the outside of this temple, there's this wall right here. This wall right here is actually called the Sorig. And this is not commanded in Scripture at all, but they took so seriously Gentiles not being included in temple worship that they established this wall right here, okay? They established this wall, and they put a big sign on this wall. And actually, in 1871, archaeologists found one of these big signs, you know, engraved in stone and etched in, okay? And this big sign said something to the effect of, if you are not an Israelite, if you are a Gentile, and you come inside this area, you will be guilty, and you can receive actually the death penalty. How would you like that on the church sign? You know what I'm saying? I actually thought about it this morning. You don't even know how close I came to having you guys come into a sign. And the only reason I didn't is I was like, people might actually not come in here. But yeah, I was going to do something like, you know, if you enter here and are not worthy, you will die or something. That's what this sign said. And they posted guards at these little entrances. And this wall was only like 3 or 4 feet high, okay? And it was simply to just keep people a little further back. And if you're a Gentile and you're going to be in the Gentile court, there's ways in which you can maybe worship this God, but you are not an Israelite. You don't belong. And look at the context. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Lyle, you'll have to go back on this. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision. That'd be a derogatory term, okay? That'd be like, you don't belong. The uncircumcision group by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's you Gentiles. If you are not of Jewish descent, if you can't trace your bloodline back to Abraham, or if you haven't done some things so that you can kind of be brought into that community, you are a Gentile and you are far away from the promises of God. They don't belong. And it's this context, it's right there. This doesn't compute with us as much. This is actually really something hard to preach to you because we don't think about some of that. Now, we think about it in some other ways, which we're going to get into, but we don't think of, you know, the Jewish people and being a Gentile or being a Jew and those Gentiles. We don't think about that. But this context right here is huge. It'd be similar. It's less the playful, you know, Yankee and the Southern people. It's less that. It's more something like walking into a room, some of the feelings that you'd get if you walked in and there was kind of like radical Islamist or something like that. That feeling you'd get of like enemy. That feeling you'd get of like, very different than me. That feeling is the feeling that's present here as Paul writes this. It's probably the single most contextual thing that you need to wrap your mind around for even the entire New Testament. It's huge. It plays out all over the place. And here it comes out. And there's three things I want to quickly talk about this morning that Jesus brings into that midst. And Paul kind of shares that with us. The first thing that he does is he reveals to us the mystery. He reveals to us a mystery that's been a mystery for ages. Look at chapter 1, verse 9 of Ephesians, if you're here. Chapter 1, verse 9. So we already read this. It says this: He's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. What is this mystery? What is this mystery? And we heard it a couple times. And then look at chapter 3, verse 6. Paul just tells us. I'm not going to have you guess. Here's the mystery. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. This is radical to the people hearing this. This is, they're not hearing this the way you're hearing this. I can tell because you're all kind of like, yeah, big deal. You know, fine, no big deal. No, no, that's not how these people are hearing this. They have been seeped for centuries in thinking that the Gentiles need to be over there and we stay over here. We have connection to Abraham through a bloodline, and we are the ones who are near the promises of God. And you need to stand over there. Now, there's something very fascinating about this, because God has been putting together this grand plan all from the beginning. It's a plan that literally has started before creation, with Jesus Christ at the very center of it. I'll be honest with you, I guess if I had you raise your hand, there's people in this room who think that Jesus is plan B. Do you get that? There are people in this room, I'll be honest, I thought that. I thought that God created the world, and it was perfect, and then it was kind of like set up in such a way, and then Adam and Eve screwed it up, right? And they bombed it, and so now God's like, oh man, I didn't see that coming. So I got to, oh man, what am I going to do now? Okay, hey Jesus, come here. We're gonna put it together, plan B together. No. That's not the biblical narrative. The biblical narrative is that Jesus has always been plan A. He's always been the plan. And God has been working this plan out way slower than we would like, right? I get that. I understand that. Way slower than we would like. But God has been working this plan through the call to Abraham, through these chosen people of God, the Israelites, allowing them 400 years in bondage in Egypt, only to bring them out and absolutely destroy that slavery and oppression that was put on them. And then to work with these people, these chosen people, for hundreds and hundreds of years. And God making promises to them, oftentimes that they couldn't fully wrap their mind around. There would be a king who would come of the line of David. There would be a Messiah sent to save the world. Okay, we trust you, but we don't understand what that looks like. So much so that when Jesus shows up, right? They just don't know exactly what's going on. And what Paul is saying here is Jesus makes known the mystery. We are so privileged. There's challenges to living on this side of the cross. There's real challenges, but there's also this really great privilege to have made known to us the mystery, this incredible plan that's unfolding, and it's centered in on Jesus Christ, who goes to the cross and pays the price for your sin, who rises victoriously, defeating sin, death, Satan himself, and doing it in such a just done and dead kind of way. He puts it to death and he rises victorious and then offers us a resurrection someday and promises to return, to make all things, to establish a new creation, restore all things. This is incredible, but it's all in Christ. It's all in him. And so we can have a mystery and we can be like, well, how can, there's a lot of question marks over here. And look to Christ. Jesus makes known to us the mystery. Listen, it's a plan that unfolds for everyone. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one Gentiles and Jewish Israelites. He's made us both one, has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. If you go study this, you'll find that that dividing wall of hostility could mean a couple different things. But potentially it has the soreg in mind, right? This fence that keeps you from being part of it with us. It can be, there can be this dividing wall of hostility between us and God at play here. There's lots of actually different things at play. But what it's saying here is in Christ, God is bringing that together. And it's no longer the way you're kind of thinking about it. See, in Jesus, reconciliation can be brought to any spot where there's division. You get that? In Christ, reconciliation can be brought. The dividing wall of hostility between different races, between the gender division today that's taking place, just this gender inequality, the divisions that take place in relationships in general. Unity, reconciliation can ultimately be found only in Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I watch the news, actually. You know what I'm saying? And I see this stuff play out constantly. We live in an area that's in, I don't even know. I'm still learning this area. But we live in an area that has a lot of racism, don't we? That's deep in our hearts. That's rooted deep inside of us. It's very difficult for us to sometimes see somebody and not kind of go there, whatever there might be in a situation. We look at people through eyes that kind of see different things and, you know, socioeconomic kind of situations. You're rich, you're poor, you this, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. And Jesus is saying, in me, there's actually unity. This is some of this kind of mystery that he begins to reveal in showing up in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth. That's the first thing. Second thing, really quickly, Jesus comes and he brings, he creates, I love this, this I would tweet out personally. He creates a new radical family of all. He begins to create in himself a new radical family of all, including everyone. Okay? I'm going to just quick make sure I got my scripture here. Look at this. Israel had been seeing their people groupness according to the flesh. They had seen their people groupness as according to a bloodline. And what happens when Jesus shows up is he begins to create this new, this actually is going to push you. I wish I could really lean into and preach this. We just don't have time. He begins to create a new humanity in Jesus Christ through what he does on the cross. Look at chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Look at this. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And look at 2 verse 19. So then, and he's talking to the Gentiles here, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now I'm gonna stretch to you even further here. So as he begins to create this unity and this new humanity, where do we see this? Where do we see this? We see in Christ, he's doing something. He's reconciling. He's bringing about new. He's kind of recreating. Watch this. Look at chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. I know I'm bopping around. Listen. to me, though I am the very least, this is the Apostle Paul talking, I am the least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Here it comes. So that, what's the next line? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Here's my question. Where is the new Israel? Where's Israel? See, Israel used to be a people group that had connection in a bloodline to Abraham. And now Israel is made one in Jesus Christ. Jesus is Israel in one. And now as his spirit comes into the what? The church, right? Into the church, we become the new Israel, folks. You ever hear that before? That's fascinating to me. We are the new Israel. This actually changes a whole lot of different kind of thinking that can be out there on a lot of different things. We're not going to get into it today. But we are the new Israel with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And watch this. Look at Galatians chapter 3. See, the question quickly becomes, who gets to be part of this? Who gets to be part of this? See, it used to be you put up the fence and, you know, you kind of stay over there and we're kind of over here. We can kind of trace this to our roots and our heritage, even to this day. To be Jewish is to be able to be like, my mother was Jewish, my grandmother was Jewish, my great-grandmother was Jewish, right? How do we do it? How do we know if we're kind of included in the body? Who gets to be part of this? Does it got to be, I have to wear a suit? I'm just playing here, kind of starting this thing off, right? What if you get a tattoo? And all of a sudden, you know, oh man, Grandma now says, I'm going to hell. You know, you're out, man. That's real for some people. Well, what about if you've sinned? Like, what if you've made some mistakes in your life? What if you've bombed? I'm not walking over here for anybody in particular. Okay, I'm sorry. Stay in the middle, Seth. Stay in the middle. Right? What if you've made some really big mistakes? What if you've committed adultery? What if you've murdered somebody? Can you be part of this? Can you be included? Look at this. Watch this. Galatians chapter 3. This is me jumping out of Ephesians. Galatians is written by the same guy. Man, if this doesn't just drive it home, I don't know what will. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, man, it's all about him. He's at the center. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Oh man, this is radical. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring according to the promise. You hear that? That, I'm telling you, that would be radical to these people hearing this. That, so much so that, like, it fires them up and gets Paul arrested, and just go read through Acts and find where he starts saying this stuff. And I'm telling you, they put up with a lot of what Paul says until he gets to this kind of language. And then it's, he's got to die. This is radical. And Jesus Christ, when he comes, he begins to create a new radical family of all. This is why we say here at the dwelling, come as you are. Now, are we going to challenge you if you're living, doing something, and we're going to challenge you and walk with you? And does God want to just leave us all where we are? No, of course not. He wants to continue to grow us. He wants to shape us and change us. I'm saying that too. But come as you are. Because this is what God is doing in Christ Jesus. And now in the church as his spirit dwells inside of us. That's fascinating to me. We don't have time to keep going, but we are the new Israel, a new radical family of all. Nobody's got their phone out. Nobody's texting that to friends. It's okay. Last thing that Jesus brings is he brings peace. Look at chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. Chapter 2, 17 through 18. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace. Jesus brings peace. Man, my prayer for you this morning is that you leave with peace. True peace. We get all excited. Oh, Kim Jong-un, he might be taking those babies off the table now, right? Oh, that's exciting. Maybe we're a little closer to some world peace stuff. Ultimately, peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. It's the only place. And the only way I can prove it to you is just be like, well, stick around for the next 30 years and, you know, it'll play out that way. Everybody doesn't just go put down, it's not going to be world peace the way you're thinking. It's not happening. Now, do we still work towards things like that? Even the way I say it, does that probably annoy somebody? Maybe, because I work towards peace. I want peace to be in this world. I pray for peace. I do. But ultimately, our racial divides, the struggles we have with all sorts of divisiveness, the dividing wall of hostility that's between even people groups and church groups, all sorts of stuff. Ultimately, peace is brought in Jesus Christ. And it's why we keep going back to him. And we just keep leaning on him and what he's saying to us and what he's doing in us. This is what Jesus does. He makes known the mystery hidden for the ages. And if you go read through the New Testament, you'll see it all over the place. Gentiles are now included. According to the promise, they actually always had been. This is kind of a fascinating thought. We don't have time to get into it. But ultimately now in Christ Jesus, we are all part of this. And ultimately now it's only in faith in Jesus Christ. This is why those who would maybe even consider themselves Jews and hold to this bloodline, we would say, man, it's about faith in Jesus. That's what it means to be Israel. That's what it means to be part of the church. And who gets to be part of this? Anybody. Everybody. Y'all just come. And Jesus ultimately brings peace. Peace amongst people groups and peace. You go look at this text a little bit this next week. Actually, peace between us and God. Those who are near, the Jews, those who are far, both needed to be brought into a relationship with God in a new way. And Jesus accomplishes that through the cross. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank and praise you for what you have done. And in this text, we are just not even capturing everything. I mean, I pulled out 3 points, and I tried tying them down, Lord, to 3 points that kind of capture a lot of what this text is talking about. But this is just loaded with stuff. It really is. So I pray, God, that you would help us to be able to receive this word now. And what you're telling us, there's different people that are maybe latching on to different points. Maybe some that just latch into the kind of cultural stuff that was taking place around the first century like this. Okay, cool. There's some of us, Lord, who are leaning into maybe some of the divisions that take place between people groups even today. And we were like, what does that look like to bring restoration and bring kind of peace into the midst of that? Some of us are leaning into that. Lord, some of us are leaning into a lack of peace that we have with you. Some of us don't have peace with you. And we don't know what our future holds as we maybe don't have this kind of relationship with you, God, figured out. So just keep helping us with that, understanding what that looks like. God, there's some of us in this room who are struggling with, man, should I even be here? Who gets to be part of this church? Who gets to be part of this new Israel? God, just keep opening up our hearts to the reality that everybody can be part of this. And Jesus, I think of me. I know my life. I know my struggles. And I know that when I'm really honest, it's easy for me to think, maybe I shouldn't even be part of this. No, of course not, Seth. He's the pastor guy, right? He can be part of it. Well, Lord, you even know the things I struggle with. And man, what does that look like? And Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you include even me in this. Each and every one of us, Jesus, thank you so much. This morning, Lord, we open up our hearts to you and we just lay our brokenness at your feet. And we turn to you, the one who brings us peace. Just may God fill you this morning with his Holy Spirit. And may you know that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They're forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you. You can have peace with God in Jesus Christ. You can have peace with your neighbor in Jesus Christ. You can have peace with even your worst enemy in Jesus Christ. Amen.